All right, I want you to take your Bibles, please. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And once you find that, I want you to put your finger there and go back with me to Psalm 103. 1 John chapter 2, Psalm, and then go back to Psalm 103 with me, please. I have two scriptures I want to put together here for the message this morning. I was thinking this week, I appreciate so much Pastor Lewis asked me to preach while he's gone, and I try to always to recognize who allow me to be behind the pulpit is Pastor Lewis. And I'm always very, very appreciative of the opportunity to preach. And I was also thinking, you know, for years now, I preached the Father's Day message here because Pastor Lewis's time shares during the first couple weeks of June. And so he's about always gone on Father's Day. And Brother Holmes, you're going to find this out eventually, but anybody that preaches a lot, after a few years, special days get a little harder to not preach the same thing again, you know, on special days. And I didn't struggle too hard. And I do apologize for calling you Frank. Now, Brother Frank, there's where's Frank at? Brother Frank, there's a lot worse things he could be called than that. And very honestly, folks, ever since I've met Brother Holmes, and this is the truth, I have feared that I would call him Larry, because the only Holmes I ever knew was the boxer Larry Holmes. And I did it, and I want to apologize for it, Larry. He said he was going to call me some names when he got up here. I said, well, you just remember, I didn't do it on purpose. It was accidental. So anyway, all right, you should be the 103rd Psalm right now. Oh, I want to draw your picture to the screen. Can anybody want to guess who that little boy is? That's me. And that's my father. And we were ready to go to Sunday school and church. And we're pretty certain that was 1947. And I want to thank Brother Carruthers for working that out. I just give him a picture. It's just a picture I had. He took care of that for us, and I appreciate that so much. Thank you, Charlie. All right, Psalm 103, please. One verse, verse number 13. And I'm going to ask those of you that can stand to do so out of respect of the reading of the Word of God. And if you physically cannot stand, we understand that. Psalm 103 and verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Now turn over with me, please, to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And I'm going to start here in verse number 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the glorious privilege to stand behind this pulpit on this Father's Day. And I first of all thank you, Lord, for being such a wondrous, gracious, loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. And I pray, Father, that you might bless all the dads that are in this auditorium. And I pray you bless all the dads that may be listening to the sound of my voice, whether it be by way of the radio or by internet. And I pray, Heavenly Father, what you have given me to do here today might be a lasting help in the life of every father that hears this message. Now, Father, we love you. Help me hide behind the cross. Help me to honor you in all that I say and do in these few minutes. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. It's alarming to me to compare when I was first married to now of the moral values of America. It's alarming to me who have a memory that can go back of quite a few years. Amen? And some of you, it's even more alarming to you that are older than I am, where our country and the moral values in America is heading. And very honestly, good daddies, and I use the word daddy affectionately. I always called my father daddy. Well, I didn't always call him dad, but when I got a little older, I called him daddy. So an affectionate term to me. And all of you daddies out there, I want you to know a good daddy, a good father is getting harder and harder to find. And I just want to try and inspire every father here and every father to be that's here, to be the right kind of father under the sight of God and to your wife and to your children. And we want to do what's right. I really appreciate what Brother Holmes said about a spiritual heritage in your family. I'm the one that has established that in my family. I had the privilege to lead my father and my mother to the Lord myself. November of 1978, in the living room of the house that I helped build in 1956, I had that glorious privilege. My sons are both saved. My oldest boy, I know where he is this morning. He's in Troy Baptist Temple. He called me this morning to wish me a happy Father's Day. And whenever I talk to my boys, they always say, "I love you, Dad." Before we hang up, of course, I always say that too. This morning, my son said, "Dad, I want you to know I really love you." Well, I tell you what, folks, that means a lot. It really means a lot to be able to have your children grow up and show that love and respect to you that you have instilled in them, not only through teaching and training of the Word of God, but by examples that we fathers set. Now, I want to ask you fathers this morning, what kind of example are you setting for your children? I want to ask you grandfathers this morning, what kind of example are you setting to your grandchildren? Are you and I setting the right example that a Christian heritage may be built on after us? In my family, and it's still that way, in most any spiritual matter, I'm the person they look to and they ask those questions. My thought is, who will carry on in my family after me? Who will be the spiritual leader in my family after me? I'm concerned about that. There'll be generations of moths that I'll never see unless they get saved and come to heaven where I'll be. My youngest boy in New York has 3 sons. And they all have the last name Mott. And I'll tell you, some of them will have children. I hope they all do. The youngest one is 5. The youngest one's 5. That's young. And he was an uh-oh. You'll catch on to that after a while. But listen, dads, do you live in the present? Or do you think ahead? And try to plan your life in such a way that in your family, your spiritual heritage their spiritual heritage. What you've imparted to your children will live on after you're gone. Sad to say, but I've had funerals and buried men, and after they were gone, their kids were gone too, out of church. I've seen that so many times. Grandkids gone. Well, this message is going to be different than anything I've done for a good while. Trying to come up and do with something a little different rather than repeat something I've done to you before. I am going to take the word fathers, or father, and I'm going to take each letter and use that as a point that will build to help us be the type of father that will be able to rear our children in such a way that they'll have the opportunity to honor God and honor our Christian values, that we can build a spiritual heritage. First of all, number one is the letter F, and I could not help but to think of faithful. Faithful. You know, today's society has been bombarded with unfaithfulness as no other generation. And it has compounded into much divorce and separation across America. I never thought I'd live to see the day when little children would have three moms and two dads. I'm serious. I'm not being funny. I never thought I'd live to see this day. And how confused they must be. I like what Pastor Lewis said concerning when him and Mrs. Lewis become husband and wife. They agreed that the word divorce would not even be in their language one with another. And I think that's a wonderful thing, that every husband and wife ought to make sure that it'd be never something, that something would never, ever come up in their life. And then in preparing this message, just last night on a news station, that was CNN or one of those, talking about Father's Day, they said there are 33 million children in America living in a home with no dad. 33 million. Most of us here would have to say, you can't comprehend that. You never had to go through that. I never lived that way. I had a caring father who cared for me, who nurtured me, who taught me moral values even when he wasn't saved. Had a father was not afraid to work. We had 120 acres. And my dad worked 50 to 60 hours a week in a machine shop besides the farming. My daddy worked hard to provide for us. And my parents had us in church. They didn't drop us off. They didn't have the bus go by. But I'm glad for buses, don't get me wrong. But they only took us there, we sat there together. But we live in a time and a generation where that's all changed. Listen, a worthy father is faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to his family, and he honors his marriage vows with the utmost care. Adultery is not all right. Adultery is a sin against your wife, against your husband, against the church, against your brothers and sisters in Christ, against the Holy Spirit, against the Lord Jesus Christ, against heaven, and against all that's right and righteous. There's many a man and woman that would stand up here and give a testimony of how that wrecked their lives and stole their happiness for the rest of their life. A faithful father protects his children and is loyal to them, loyal to his children. And then he sets the example of his faithfulness and his continuance of serving our living God. You know, there's a lot of dads, and there's some here as well. I mentioned in Bible study class this morning, I was in the shower, and I was thinking about some men that I've not seen for a while that are members of this church. I just got to think, I don't know, the Lord just brought that to mind. And let me tell you something, fathers, you cannot rear your children with a spiritual heritage if you're half in, half hot, half out, half hot, half cold, lukewarm Christians. Could you hear me all right? What's Revelation say? God said, you were hot or cold, but because you look lukewarm, I'll spew you out. That's what God said. You can't be half in, half out and set any kind of example for your family, for your children. What you do is you teach your children there are other things more important than serving God, being faithful to church. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. I was always taught. I used to jump off there. I quit that. I was always taught that whatever you skip church for, you're teaching your children that that's more important than serving God. That's more important, serving God. You skip church and go to a ball game, that's more important than serving. That's what you're teaching your children. Listen, our children will have the opportunity to make godly decisions in their life concerning their faithfulness to God if they see it in moms and dads. How many times do we revert to, well, that's how I was brought up? Amen? That's how I was brought up. That's me. That's who I am. That's the way I was brought up. I'm talking about the example. I was brought up that way. The example's there. But I want to serve Christ now, not just because of the example, but because of the fact that He first loved me and gave Himself for me, and because of what He's done for me, now that I'm a child of the King, I too want to be faithful to Him. But I have my parents as an example to remind me of my faithfulness. And as a child, if I choose to make bad choices and pick out things I'd rather do and be in church and stay home, I have that example in my mind that the Holy Spirit will bring back to me that my parents never did this. My parents never laid out of church. They were faithful. And the Holy Spirit can convict them that they need to get right and get in church. And folks, when you and I are faithful, we will set the right example for our children to follow. But if you're half in, half out, half hot, half cold, lukewarm, your kids will be the same way. First Corinthians 4:2. Get that on the screen, please. Moreover, it's required in a steward. And that's what we are. We are in charge of things that belong to God. Our children are not ours. They're God's gift for us to nurture and to train. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Number two. Well, you already know it's going to start with A. Affectionate. A father needs to be affectionate. You know, many fathers are afraid to show affection. Do you know why they are? Because they were not raised with affection. My father was not raised where affection or speaking I love you, embraces and hugging, that never went on in my home. Now, sometimes my mom would hug me once in a while, but it never really went on in my home. And it wasn't until I got a little older that I understood why. Because my father was not raised that way. It was hard. You know, if you've not been raised in a family that showed affection, you've not seen it, not had the examples, not been done to you, it's hard to do it. You feel awkward about it. Well, bless my sister's heart. Send us her name. When she got married, she said she's going to change all that. And so all the hugging got started. It wasn't long that mom and dad caught on. But it's still hard for my dad to say to me, I love you. But my dad never had to say it because I knew it. He proved it to me over and over and over again. He did get so, he'd say, me too. I love you, Dad. He'd say, me too. And he wasn't talking about loving himself. He's talking about loving me. So you say, well, that's the reason I'm that way then. I was raised that way. Change it. Change it. What's not the best thing in your life? Get rid of and get the best in your life. Become somebody who's not afraid to show affection and emotions in your family. Let them see it. Let it be real. It has to be real in your life. We're so bombarded with unfaithfulness. We're so bombarded with a lack of affection. Many times a person does not show affection because they have so many insecurities in their own life. There's things that are not settled. And if you don't have affection in your life, you don't know what you're missing. You do not begin to know even what you forfeit and the joy that you could have in your life when you show affection. Listen, everybody needs to be loved. And everybody needs to love someone else. And there's all kinds of love. There's brotherly love among Christians, sisterly love among Christians. Amen. There's, of course, love for our mates, love for our children, love for our neighbors. I could go on and name many different things that we ought to be found loving. Do you know, in many churches, Ralph Sparks wouldn't make a splash at all, and hardly nothing would be said when he died. But you see, here, it's not who tithes the most that gets attention. It's people that's important. Let me tell you, that's because of Pastor and Mrs. Lewis. People are first. And I'll tell you, Ralph holds a special place in my heart, too. All the years I was Sunday school superintendent, he always came in the office there when he got here. I know he probably looked preacher up first, but he always went in and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm just staying busy, Ralph. How about, we always have a talk. You always say, what are you doing? And he called me Wayne, by the way, Frank. Mike. But I always took time to talk to Ralph. But you know, as Frank said, Ralph had some limitations, but he knew he was saved and born again. And he could give you a strong testimony of that. And he loved church. That's why we're trying to encourage as many as you can to come. It's sad to have a funeral. There'd be two or three people there, families all gone. He has no family. As far as bloodline, we're his family. As Brother Holmes said, and we need those of you can to show up for the funeral Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Fathers who show affection strengthen family ties and instill a security in their own family. Children feel a security when they know they're loved. I used to think I knew my daddy liked me because I got whippings whenever I needed one and a few times when I didn't. I remember a couple times. Well, I just got the whipping of my life, and I was innocent. Can you believe that? But then I remember many times I never got caught, so I guess that made up for that. But I used to think when I was a small boy, my dad must really like me or he wouldn't whip me so much. You know, I never thought he didn't like me because he whipped me. Because he wouldn't just whip me, he'd sit down and talk to me afterwards. Explain things to me and what I should be doing. Now remember, my dad wasn't saved till I led him to the Lord. Yet he sure had that Bible verse down perfect, spare the rod and spoil the child. Even though that's not a Bible verse, it's a principle. But he had that down good, even though he weren't saved. Amen. But that, even as a young child, that said something to me. My dad cares for me. He wouldn't do this. He's trying to help me, to go the right way in my life. But there's a better way than that. That's important. Don't get me wrong. I believe in corporal correction in the home, but I believe the children should know ahead of time what trespass it is that brings that on. But setting the right example for our children to follow is the best thing in the world to do, folks. The very best thing to do in the world. And by showing affection to them, to instill in them faith and security. 1 Peter 4:8. I'm going to have to move along here. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity. And when we see the word charity, we know it is. Oh, come on now. We know it is love. Have fervent charity or love among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Number three is the letter T, trusting. This is a big one. I thought about this. You know, there are many fathers live with constant suspicion of their children. Do you know that? And does anybody know why? Because they're thinking about how they acted as they was a kid. That's why it is. And they're worried to death that their kids are doing the things that they knew they shouldn't have done when they was young. And they're constantly suspicious of their children. Their children feel trapped. They feel dominated, living in constant fear of what Mom or Dad is going to think and say next that I've done. You know, Colossians 3:21. Let's get that on the screen. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, to anger or wrath, lest they be discouraged. And one of the quickest way to provoke your children to wrath is always imagining and checking with them and accusing them of doing things that you don't know whether they've done or not. You're just afraid they're going to do. That puts them in a very unstable environment. Trust is most important, my friends. It generates hope and happiness and confidence in children when you trust them. Now, naturally, when they break your trust, then that's the time something must be done in the way of correction. And I use the word correction because that's what corporal punishment is. Correction, not punishment. You want to correct your children to do right. And God said the way to do it's with the rod. When they pass over into that area that demands corporal correction, do it not with a purpose to make you feel better because you're so mad you want to beat the fire. No. It's for the purpose of correcting the child from doing that again. And then after we correct them, we need to instill in them, like my daddy used to explain to me, the right things to do afterwards. Are you with me? Don't provoke your children to wrath. Listen, parents and children who are trusting are better equipped to trust their Heavenly Father. Did you hear that? Parents who have children, and the parents are trusting the children will be more trusting, and it'll be more easy for them then to trust their Heavenly Father. Number four, I'm moving right along here, is the letter H. We talked about faithful, affectionate, trusting. Now the word honorable. Honorable. A good father meets his obligations promptly, honestly, and is respected in the community. What do I mean by that? I mean you take care of your obligations. You pay your bills. You do what you say you're going to do. You set the right example for your children to follow. An honorable father will diligently protect his family's name from slander and disgrace. First of all, by being careful himself, and then instilling some of the things that I'm sharing with you right here this morning in their lives as we talk about being honorable. 2 Timothy 2:19-21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from, what's that next word? Iniquity. Now verse number 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto, what's the next word? Honor, sanctified, and meant for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want to be a vessel that God can use. I want to be an instrument in God's hands that can work for the good of others. And all of us ought to have that desire to be a vessel used of God. But it must be an honorable vessel. There must be honor in our life. We must be the type of person that he can use to affect the lives of others. And the most important others that I'm talking about this morning are our children, our heritage for the future. A father's morals, for him to be honorable, should be above reproach in the sight of God and men. Number 5, those of you who know how to spell father know I'm going to be done shortly. Number 5 is the letter E, and it's energetic. Boy, I can't say enough of this today. This is another thing that's changed so much over the years. But a worthy father is not slothful or lazy. I could preach a whole message just on the word lazy. Now, I'm not lazy now, and it's thanks to my father. Being raised on a farm, I had lots of responsibilities. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it at the time. I felt like I was a slave. My teen years. But I toted the line because my daddy made me. I learned in a hurry, if I didn't do something right the first time, I was going to suffer for it. My daddy taught me how to do things right the first time. And as I got in life, some of those things that I did not like, the matter of work and the farm, instilled in me a work ethic I didn't know I had. I'm still that way. And I'll be honest with you, I can outwork most men my age. Most of you can't do what I do. And some of you younger than me can't do what I do. Now, I'm not bragging about me. I'm bragging about my daddy. He instilled that in me. A wonderful work ethic. A responsibility of doing things right the first time. Don't you think my daddy was energetic? Working 50, 60 hours a week in machine shop, coming home and farming? There'd be some things I would do as a teenager on the farm, but there's some things Dad wouldn't let me do. He wouldn't let me pick corn. Back then, we didn't have shellers, but we had a one-row corn picker. It was my job when I got out of school in the winter, November, when corn was being picked, last of October, November, it was my job to shovel a wagon, get it unloaded of corn, to shovel it in the corn crib. It was eared corn. And the doors was about, I don't know just how high, but probably 8 foot from my feet up, at least 8 foot was the doors at the top, where I had to get the corn and throw it up in that hole. But now, problem was, it didn't all go in the hole. Some of it fell back in the wagon. Some of it fell on the ground. Now, my dad got home usually about 4:30, quarter to 5, unless he was working overtime. And I needed to have the livestock fed and at least one wagon unloaded by the time my daddy got home. Daddy get home, he'd go right straight down to the barn, get the tractor out, come hook to that wagon, and away he'd go, take it out in the field, hook it to the picker, and away he'd go. I would go up the house and eat quick supper. Mom would have supper ready for me. I'd run back down the corn crib, and there'd be another wagon there. We had three wagons, by the way. And I would need to have that unloaded. And my dad would stop before he had the first one loaded, go eat his supper, and then I'd have that unloaded. And by the way, every time I pulled the wagon out, I had to go back and pick up the corn, throw it up in the wagon, and get up and throw it up there again before I got it all in. Now, that was my routine. And do you know what my daddy did when I graduated, went to military? He bought an elevator. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I got so mad when I come home and see that elevator. Well, Daddy, why did you buy that years ago, you know? But my wife will tell you, when I got responsibilities, it's on my mind. I'm not going to be late. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. It's all because of my dad. Now, let me ask you, fathers. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my daddy, right up there on the screen, who's with the Lord now. Left this life March the 1st, 2008. And I miss him. But praise the Lord, because he's saved and born again, I'm going to rejoice with him someday. Well, let me ask you, dads, are you instilling that in your children? Or are you a couch potato when you get home? A couch potato. Well, I can preach a while. I've got to move along here. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. I'm preaching the truth. A truth that daddies here need to hear. I want my children to turn out right. They'll not turn out right unless you set the example, teach them, and nurture them in the Lord. You have to be actively involved, energetic. An energetic father will seek to glorify God. An energetic father will try to assist the less fortunate. An energetic father will comfort the bereaved. An energetic father will be there for someone when they have need, to pray for them, encourage them. An energetic father shares Christ with the unsaved as opportunity affords itself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father. Would to God that all of our children could say that about us while we're gone, dads, when we're gone one day. Then last of all is number 6 is the letter R. And I could not help but to think of being rewarded. That's right, rewarded. And you know, a worthy father is rewarded in this life. My two sons thought they was raised at a concentration camp. Now, how did I learn how to raise children? From my daddy. But I was a little different showing affection. I could really show affection. I've always been a very affectionate person, very romantic. Just ask my wife. I still chase her around the house. I can catch her, too. She has a fly swatter right next to her chair. And it's not for flies. Oh, shoot, I told on you. My oldest boy got back from basic training in the Army, all the way through school. We had him in Christian school for years. And then there wound up being drugs in the Christian school. People, they started taking kids in, they got kicked out of public school into this Christian school that I had my boys in. They got drugs, they got a mess, and I pulled them out towards the last school years they had. The last couple was in public high school. But when my boy went off to the military, came back for basic training, and he had a chance to be around a lot of different young men in that basic training. You know, one of the first things he said to me is, "Dad, I really appreciate the way you raised me." Now, is that being rewarded or what? He met kids that had never been on a vacation. He met other guys that never had dads, would take them fishing and hunting and show them outdoor things, how to do things. He met kids that had dads that never went to church. They never went to church, didn't know anything about it. As he began to compare how many other young men had been raised, he became thankful for the way he was raised. I was rewarded, my friends, when that happens. You can be rewarded because your children will make you happy. And when you see your children a blessing to others, oh, it blesses your heart. Nearly every time my wife and I are down home and have the opportunity to stay over on Sunday, go to church with my son at Troy Baptist Temple, there's always one or two or more come to me or my wife or both of us and say to us, "Well, you don't know what a blessing your son and his wife is to our church." Now, of course, I hate to hear something like that. Now, why is that happening? Well, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also because of what they saw in us growing up. And by the way, we weren't perfect parents. If we had a chance to do it again, there would be things we would change. Am I right, Gloria? The things we could change. We weren't perfect. But yet, we set the right kind of example that was great help to them. Matthew 25, 21. I'm almost done. His Lord has said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Eternal rewards await those who are faithful. I was supposed to read this poem after my introduction. I didn't do it. It's by Dr. R.E. Niebuhr. "Dear Daddy, when I'm a great big man like you, I want to do just like you do. I'm going to go just where you go. I want to know all the things you know. Eyes just a-growing awful big. And walking in the tracks you dig, I think it won't be very long. Eyes growing fast and getting strong. And soon I'll go to town with you and be your partner all day through. I'm just a little great big man, a-getting like you as fast as I can. Dear son, I'm glad to hear you want to be like me, yet I must change some things you see. If you would do just what I do and follow me the whole length through, then I will pray for strength and power to walk the Christ life every hour and leave tracks all along the way which will lead to joy and endless day." Whew. Then I was supposed to read this poem last. And this is very special to me because my dad was living and he heard me read this on a Father's Day years ago. "Dad, his shoulders are a little bent, his youthful force a trifle spent. But he's the finest dad I know, with heart of gold and hair of snow. He's seldom cross and never mean. He's always been so good and clean. I only hope I'll always be as kind to him as he is to me. Sometimes he's tired and seems forlorn. His happy face is lined and worn. Yet he can smile when things are bad. That's why I like my gray-haired dad. He doesn't ask the world for much, just comfort, friendliness, and such. But from the things I've heard him say, I know it's up to me to pray for all the deeds he's done for me since I sat on his rocking knee. Oh, not in dollars, dimes, or cents. That's not a father's recompense. Nor does he worship wealth and fame. He wants his pay to be in my good name. Whew. Let's stand together, please.